Forebodings. Vimes rubbed his chin. Eh, well, I've got plenty of them. Landslides and avalanches, he thought. All the little snowflakes land, light as a feather, and suddenly the whole side of a mountain is moving. Detritus looked at him slyly.
I know everyone say them two short planks they're as thick as detritus, he said, but I know which way the wind is blowing.
Vimes looked at his sergeant with a new respect. You could spot it, can you? The troll's finger tapped his helmet twice, knowingly.
It's pretty obvious, he said. You see up on the roofs them little chickies and dragons and stuff? And that poor bugger on the thieves' guild? You just has to watch them. They know. Beats me how they're always pointing the right way.
Vimes relaxed a little. Detritus's intelligence wasn't too bad for a troll, falling somewhere between a cuttlefish and a line dancer, but you could rely on him not to let it slow him down. Detritus winked.
And it looks to me like that time when you go and find a big club and listen to a granddad telling you how he beat up all them dwarfs when he was a boy, he said. Something in the wind, right?
Yes, said Vimes. There was a fluttering above him. He sighed. A message was coming in, on a pigeon. But they tried everything else, hadn't they? Swamp dragons tended to explode in the air, imps ate the messages, and semaphore helmets had not been a success, especially in high winds. And then Corporal Littlebottom had pointed out that Ankh-Morpork's pigeons were, because of many centuries of depredation by the city's gargoyle population, considerably more intelligent than most pigeons. Although Vimes considered that this was not difficult, because there were things growing on old damp bread that were more intelligent than most pigeons. He took a handful of corn out of his pocket. The pigeon, obedient to its careful training, settled on his shoulder. In obedience to internal pressure, it relieved itself. You know, we've got to find something better, said Vimes as he unwrapped the message. Every time we send a message to Constable Downspout, he eats it.
Well, he are a gargoyle, said Detritus. He think it's lunch arriving.
Oh, said Vimes. His lordship requires my attendance. How nice. Lord Vetinari looked attentive, because he'd always found that listening keenly to people tended to put them off. And at meetings like this, when he was advised by the leaders of the city, he listened with great care, because what people said was what they wanted him to hear. He paid a lot of attention to the spaces outside the words, though. That's where the things were that they hoped he didn't know and didn't want him to find out. Currently, he was paying attention to the things that Lord Downey of the Assassin's Guild was failing to say in a lengthy exposition of the guild's high level of training and value to the city. The voice eventually came to a stop in the face of Vetinari's aggressive listening.
Thank you, Lord Downey, he said. I'm sure we shall all be able to sleep a lot more uneasily for knowing all that. Just one minor point. I believe the word assassin actually comes from Klatch.
Well, indeed.
And I believe also that many of your students are, as it turns out, from Klatch and its neighbouring countries.
The unrivalled quality of our education.
Quite so. What you are telling me, in point of fact, is that their assassins have been doing it longer, know their way around our city, and have had their traditional skills honed by you.
The patrician turned to Mr. Burley.
We surely have superiority in weapons, Mr. Burley.
Oh, yes. Say what you like about dwarfs, but we've been turning out some superb stuff lately, said the president of the Guild of Armourers.
Ah, that at least is some comfort.
Yes, said Burley. He looked wretched. However, the thing about weapons manufacture, the important thing...
I believe you are about to say that the important thing about the business of weaponry is that it is a business, said the patrician.